Where did you read that?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Sapnin' Podcast.
Sapnin'!
You are listening to episode 204 of Sapnin' Podcast, featuring myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards, and hear me out. This episode is the perfect Novocaine for any sucker punch and the casualty of your dreams.
That's fucking buzzing, that is. Anyway, this week's guest is the very funny, very delightful Maggie Lindemann.
Yes, fashion freak, goth enthusiast, and internet starlight, Maggie Lindemann has been putting her stomp on the alternative scene as of late. She's been around the music industry for a while, from a young age, originally rising to fame on social media, performing covers of artists like Lana Del Rey, Demi Lovato, and Melanie Martinez, to signing a record deal as a pop artist before fighting to get out of it as she wasn't being presented as her true self. Authenticity seems to be a huge factor in everything Maggie does, wanting to embrace the darker side of her original emo and pop punk influences. She's recently worked with the likes of Travis Barker, Kellen Quinn of Sleeping With Sirens, and Machine Gun Kelly before the release of her debut studio album Sucker Punch, showcasing her true musical identity. And after getting the invitation to talk to her, Maggie comes on to really show a different side to her personality, her love for fashion, and everything behind the scenes. And this is an artist that you and I have listened to a lot lately, Sean.
Yes, ever since we found out we were doing this, we have been doing our research. Because you might not believe this, right? But sometimes we do research on the guests. And yeah, seeing her go from bubbly pink pop princess to finally her final form, Maggie's final form as the queen of the goths she's going to be, hopefully. It's been quite the journey, and this was a super, super interesting chat. It was super good to hear how everything has gone for us so far and what's going to happen in the future. I'm super excited for her. She's a lovely person, fantastic personality. I'm excited for what comes next.
Yeah. It's great to see how much she's fighting for herself within this industry. And in this conversation, we're going to talk about everything from the behind the scenes details of finding herself to going against the grain with ladylike stereotypes, her big love for fashion, having her own clothing line, and some tips within the scene, acting on Machine Gun Kelly's Downfall High movie, how she got arrested during a set once, and I freak it out knowing a little fact about her that she gets very confused. So all that to come up. But before we get into everything, a quick reminder, if you enjoy this podcast, if you like what we do, please go and support us via our Patreon page, patreon.com/Sapnin. Over there, you get loads of extra bonuses, and it's the best way to keep this podcast going each and every week and get included with our wonderful community of people who will make you smile and laugh on the regular. But without any further ado, this is Maggie Lindemann on episode 204 of Sapnin' Podcast.
I was going to advertise that we're doing a Zoom party. later this month, and that's why they should join up the Patreon. But anyway, you've done it now, and I haven't had a chance to say that. Sapnin! Sapnin! This week's guest is pop rock princess, soon to be queen, I reckon, Maggie Lindemann. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, good.
Not bad, thanks. We appreciate you joining us today, but how's things your end? What's going on day to day? How's life at the moment?
Life is crazy at the moment. Just been really busy, but I'm home. I get to be home for like a week right now, which has been really nice because I haven't been home for more than a week in a month. So it's been nice. I'm just relaxing for a couple of days.
Is that just being promo and everything for the album? Just kind of getting out there and not being in one place at one time at the moment?
Yeah, I've been just really everywhere. Like since the album dropped, because I was in Fashion Week. And then I went to Texas for the album release. And then since then, I've just been everywhere. Like New York, I played a festival like 2 weeks ago, Kentucky. So I don't know. I've just been really all over the place.
Well, Maggie, before we get into everything, one thing I wanted to bring up very quickly is doing some reading earlier. And I saw that apparently you were once obsessed with tuna helper casseroles. And I was just kind of wondering how bad the obsession was.
Where did you read that?
weird things on the internet these days, just trying to get some
that's so funny. I'm like, when did I ever say that? But it's true. I did. I literally used to eat tuna helper. Like, I'm not even kidding. Probably like every other day because my mom wouldn't let me eat it every day. But I was like obsessed with it. Like, now when I'm thinking about the taste, like, it's actually really gross. It's, like, making me, like, kind of revolted right now. But it was so good. Like, I don't know what it was. It was, like, the little tuna chunks. I guess it was tuna. No, I thought at the time it was chicken because I was like, it tastes like chicken. But it was literally tuna, which is so gross.
Yeah. I was thinking the other day, I was eating a tuna sandwich the other day. And I was thinking, this could easily be just wet cardboard or in brine, because that's what it tastes like to me. I was like, oh, this could be anything. Like, I'm not even sure if this is
literally
tuna.
Cat food. So yes. Gross.
What a weird start, Morg. I was never expecting a tuna helper start.
Exactly. You've got to keep everyone on our toes, haven't we? But no, I mean, I'm sure at that stage now where people are just quoting mad things back to you that you've apparently said over the years, or know some weird facts or whatever. Does it get quite strange these days hearing all this?
Honestly, like, it's very rare for someone to say something back to me that like I don't remember saying, or like I didn't know was out there. So the tuna helper thing is pretty crazy, honestly.
Yeah, I now realized that you could have said in the beginning when we said, oh, is there anything you don't want to talk about? Yeah, you should have gone, oh shit, tuna. Yeah, fuck, I said
don't bring up the tuna.
No, but seriously, I mean, obviously this time is quite exciting for you at the moment with just all the crazy reaction from the release of your debut studio album, Sucker Punch. I know this has been kind of a long time coming. You've had a lot of work on it behind the scenes. Just, yeah, how are you feeling about it all at the moment? What's the reaction been like? I'm sure it's just been crazy to see this actually out there in the world now after all the work behind the scenes.
Yeah, the reaction's been way more positive than I thought. I think when you release anything into the world, it's really nerve-wracking because you just never know, like, maybe I'm delusional and I think this is really good, but it's actually terrible. So you just never know. And I think like with this album, it's just had such a positive reaction, better than I could have expected ever. And it just feels good to have it out and to not be sitting on it anymore. And I don't know, I'm just like really proud of it. So it's cool that it's finally out.
No, it's great. It's great. Like, the reaction over here has been fantastic for it as well. I get to DJ a lot of rock nights and stuff, and I hear it all the time in the clubs. So,
really? Yeah.
One thing I've noticed about the kind of flow of the record is that it's really a lot of different vibes, from kind of pop punk to emo, goth. There's some really metalcore kind of guitars and stuff in there as well. Is that just a representation of all the different influences you've had over the years and who you are as a person?
Yeah, definitely. I'm influenced by so many different people, but also I listen to so many different types of music. I hate the idea that I have to stick with like one specific sound. So I really like experimenting with different things and just like going into the studio. And if I'm feeling super soft and like I want to do an acoustic song, I can do that. But I can also go in and make a metal song. Like, I can really do whatever I want, depending on just my mood. So yeah, it's like I'm influenced by so many different people also. And like, I listen, one day I'll listen to like Lana Del Rey, and then the next day I'll listen to Flyleaf, and then I'll listen to Avril, and then, you know, there's so many different things. So a different day, a different influence, I guess.
Nice. Well, was there a band or artist in particular that kind of got you into the alt scene? The first one you remember and you were like, Jesus Christ, what's this?
Probably Evanescence. Evanescence, whenever Bring Me to Life and My Immortal came out, I don't remember what year that was, but whatever year that was, my mom used to play those two songs like religiously in the car every single time I would get in. So those two songs like really inspired me. I just always loved her voice, and I loved how it was almost like her voice was almost like operatic. And growing up, like, I loved operas. Like, Phantom of the Opera is like my favorite movie, and I loved when my mom would take me to go see that. So that was like always super, her voice, like everything about her was just so, I was like so in awe of her. Avril was a big one. Gwen was a big one. I don't know. There's so many people. Like, my mom introduced me to so much music when I was young.
Have you had the chance to meet any of these people yet?
Yeah, I've met Avril. I saw Amy Lee at Louder Than Life that I just played at. I didn't talk to her or anything, but she was sitting at the table in front of me eating, and I was like, ah! I haven't met Hayley Williams. I really, really would love to. I don't know. There's so many. I would obviously love to meet everyone. When I met Avril, I was like, hi, Maggie. And then I was like, oh my God. It was crazy.
Yeah, I'd be exactly the same with that. But I've just noticed lately you did a cover of Flyleaf, and obviously speaking of Avril Lavigne as well, that a lot of people have been comparing one of your music videos to some of her mm-hmm. stuff as well. So what was it back in those early days about those kind of artists in particular that really drew you to what you do today? And just really, I'm sure it's a nice touch being able to pay homage to those influences as well now.
Yeah, it's just, there was like a certain sense of like authenticity back then that I just really appreciate. And everything felt so organic. Like, when you would watch, like, for me, so Cages was paying homage to the Skater Boy music video. And like, for me, when I watched that music video when I was younger, it just felt so fun and real. Like, you watch that and you're like, oh, that's genuinely just like her and her friends going out and like having fun. And same with like when I would watch Paramore music videos, like there was just this like authenticity about it that it felt so raw and fun. And so for me, like when I make music videos and I like just make music in general, I think people always want to say like, I'm bringing back that year, or like, wow, she's so 2000s, or like whatever it is, which is like my favorite thing to hear, because I think that just means it's so raw and like authentic. And that those years were just like so different. And I don't know, I just like really appreciate those years a lot. I just think that like all of that is so just real.
Was there any influences on this album or for any of these songs that were a bit different or people wouldn't expect? Had you been listening to anything strange? Or
I listen to a lot of weird music. I listen to a lot of like hyper pop, but like hyper pop metal, like hyper metal music. I'm gonna like butcher this girl's name, but there's this girl Yuli. I think it's Yuli, like Y-U-E-L-E, Y-E-U. I was listening to a lot of her music. I was listening to baby metal, poppy. I was listening to a lot of like metal music, but like I like girl metal music where like the singer is a girl. So I don't know. I was listening to just like a lot of like weird sounds too. Like I was listening to a lot of music that had like glitches and like drops and like Kamo, who actually produced on like two of the songs. So I don't know. I was listening. I always listen to like really weird stuff. So I don't know.
Speaking of that kind of raw vibe and the kind of aesthetic and fashion, there, I noticed really there was a lot of people when you announced the album cover that people just didn't get it for being kind of different and looking the way it was and looking a bit grainy and things like that. Is it weird seeing trying to translate that over to people who might have not had previous experience with some of your like influences and stuff?
Yeah, I think like the initial reaction to it was like there were comments that was like, oh, you could at least close your legs. Like, this is not ladylike, which was a really funny one to me. And then there was just people being like, this is disgusting. Like, it looks so dirty in there. Like, sitting on a toilet, like, blah, 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 blah. Like, there was this one comment in particular that was like, you have no songs for a cover to look like this. And I thought that was so funny because I was like, oh, you haven't heard the album yet. But I think, like, for me, it's like, I always try to say, I obviously want to look pretty, and when I do shoots, like I want to look pretty, whatever, but like I want to look cool. I thought I looked cool in that cover. Yes, it looked dirty, it looked grainy, it looked gross, but that's the vibe I was trying to give. Like, it's a rock album. It's not supposed to be put together, and I'm not supposed to look perfect and polished, like, because I'm not, and the album's not. The album's all over the place. There's so many different things going on. I'm talking about so much stuff, and like the album is such a roller coaster. I really wanted the cover to give that same feeling of like, it's not put together, it's not polished, but like, this is just me, this is just my life. Like, I'm smoking on my toilet in my bathroom. This is life.
Nice.
Yeah. Obviously, you've been doing music since such a young age, and one thing I wanted to talk about is really there's a whole kind of backstory to the success of one of your early singles, Pretty Girl. And then after that, you kind of left your label because you felt like they were trying to push you more in the pop direction and not really representing yourself in the way you'd like to be perceived. Can you just kind of talk to us about that time period and kind of getting to a place now where you feel more comfortable and being your true self?
In the beginning, I think of any artist who's just starting out, it's really difficult to navigate the industry because you're really just figuring it out with people that have been doing this forever. And for me, like getting signed after I had a couple songs out, but I was fully independent, like fully independent with no distribution, nothing. So for me, it was like a label wanted to work with me. They liked my song. I was down. Like, obviously, I think anyone is like excited to sign to a label. So I signed, and kind of immediately I realized that like I was being pushed into a genre that I didn't really want to be in. Even with like my earlier stuff, it was pop, but it was a little bit more like indie pop, a little like alternative. And I always wanted to make like alternative music. I wanted to make more stuff that was kind of like dark pop, like Lana Del Rey, Melanie Martinez, like Banks vibes. And like very quickly I just realized like this is not what I want to do at all. Like, I do not want to make bubblegum pop music. After Obsessed, I was like, yeah, I can't do this anymore. I don't know, I was just like super unhappy. And I'm really, really fortunate that I was able to get out of my label situation, because I know it's like a lot of people aren't, and it's really hard to get out. But I was able to get out and start doing the music I wanted to do. And I was in so many sessions and setting up sessions and meeting writers and just like working with people that actually genuinely just like fucks with me and like wanted to help create with me, and not just people that were like put in the room and they're like, okay, now you have to write with Maggie or whatever. It's like these people genuinely like wanted to be there for me, like wanted to help me. And I shortly after signed a distribution deal, which is like the best thing ever. Like I always tell artists, like, don't sign to a label, sign to a distribution. It's just like the best because you're fully able to create on your own. Like everything you see now is fully me. Like it goes through my distribution. Obviously they like are like, okay, cool, this looks good, but they're never like putting a limit on my creativity. I have full creative control. And I don't know, I'm just like so happy now with everything in my life. Like I feel like I'm just finally free to be myself, and like I don't have someone in my ear being like, this sucks, like, no, this is terrible, you look like blah blah blah, like anything negative. It's like it's really all positive, and it's just like it's just such a crazy difference. It's crazy.
Do you feel like there was a moment in particular that kind of triggered all that to be like, no, actually, you know, fuck this, I'm not being portrayed in the way I want to be, this is not who I really am? And was there a moment where you felt like, you know, I'm hiding my true self in a lot of ways?
I felt like that for a really long time. Like I remember even making Pretty Girl when we started doing like everything for that and like for Obsessed. I remember like this specific moment that I was like, I don't want to do this. It was when I was doing, we had to do new cover art for Obsessed because the original cover art was like a hand. And so we like wanted it to be me. So I had to go and like do this photo shoot and I'm wearing all pink. I remember that was the moment that I was like, this is crazy. Like I'm looking at these pictures and I'm like, who is this person? I don't like how I look. I don't like the outfits I'm wearing. I really hate everything about this right now. And I think that was like the moment that I was just like, I can't do this anymore. And then in Obsessed, like when you watch the music video, it's so different. Like I have dark makeup on, I'm wearing all black. I like the vibe is so different because I was finally like portraying myself the way I wanted to look, but I was still trying to get out of the sound that I was just like tied to. I don't know. There was that moment I was just like, yeah, I can't do this. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. This is like terrible. And once I finally figured that out, like I just started fighting back about like the music I was making.
Would you say there's anything in particular that you've kind of learned about yourself over the last few years?
I think my biggest thing with myself is like I've learned crazy patience. Because okay. I am a lot, like even for myself. I know for other people I'm probably even more, but like for myself, dealing with myself on a day-to-day basis, like I'm a lot. I have a lot going on in my brain, and I think just like learning to be patient with myself and like slow down and like let thoughts process, and like when it comes to writing, like just letting myself feel all the things and say the things I want to say with like no restrictions has been huge for me. And I don't know, I've also just learned so much about myself as an artist, like writing these past two projects and now writing by myself has been, I don't know, just like such a process. Because a couple years ago, if you would have told me that I would be writing solely by myself, I would have never believed you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Is there any producers or writers that you've worked with before that we might know or know of or whatever?
Yeah, I worked with a couple people. So on Paranoia, I worked with like the same producers, just Cody Tarpley and Josh Murdy. But on this album, I worked with both of them. I worked with Andrew Goldstein. I worked with John Feldman, who's Morgoth, Raziel, Kamo, who's an artist, produced on a couple songs, who's like literally insanely talented and like super young. I don't want to forget anyone. I worked with No Love for the Middle Child. And then I worked with like Kellen Quinn, Sick Brain, some writers, Paris Carney, Alex Leahy, Rachel West. I don't know. There's so many people. I don't even want. There's just so many. They're all like just so amazing and talented. And yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, it seems like you're in good hands there. We've had Kellen on the show before. We've had John Feldman, who just somehow wakes up and just starts fucking writing hits straight. Well, coffee first, first, then coffee. Just goes writes 200 million hits a day.
Yeah, he's different.
Yeah, but it must be crazy to think of all the experiences you've had so far and all the people you've worked with and all the things you've learned in this short period of time, because you know you're still a young artist. You know, there's still a lot of people discovering your music for the first time with this debut album, and especially in new territory. So I'm sure it's just kind of crazy when you have a moment to think back at stuff and think of all the mad stuff that's actually happened so far.
Yeah, definitely. It is very crazy. Kellen Quinn wanting to work with me was a really crazy one, because I grew up listening to Sydney with Sirens. Sydney with Sirens is my favorite band. So that was like a really crazy moment. All the festivals I've been able to play has always been really crazy. Shows, like going on tour, has been crazy. I have two shows coming up that I'm headlining for the first time, and they sold out 2 minutes to 3 minutes. Was yeah, which was like literally like so hard to believe, because we were like debating like what kind of venue to do. We're like, should we do this bigger venue? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I'm scared that I'm not gonna be able to sell it out. So we should do like this venue instead. And I was really nervous. I was really nervous that no one was gonna want to come see me. So when it sold out in 2 minutes, just to know that like people really just actually care about me and like want to see me, it was such a weird moment, especially with like the pandemic and everything. Like it's been so hard because you can't see the actual reaction. You see online, obviously, but live, know that there's just like people that actually just want to see me was a really crazy thing.
Nice. Well, after it, after it sold out, were you like, oh, we should have gone bigger again?
Like, dude, we should have did the bigger venue. I texted my agents and stuff. I was like, we have to do a bigger venue next time. They're like, oh, we will, for sure.
Oh, you will. You will, for sure.
Yeah. But speaking of just kind of your personality and everything as well, obviously fashion as being such a big part of your life and in your music and the aesthetic and all that. You have your own kind of clothing brand. Is that just another side to you that you're really glad that you are able to show people more these days and with the music videos and with everything else?
For sure. I love clothes. When I was little, I really wanted to design clothes. My grandpa got me like one of those like little mannequins, like little wire mannequins that I could like put fabrics on and stuff. And I had this like little box that I would have a bunch of fabrics in and like a sketch pad and everything. And I would just like draw dresses and shirts and all that stuff. So I always really wanted to make clothes. And it's crazy that I have the brand with Zumiez, because Zumiez was my favorite store in the mall growing up. I always went into Zumiez. Just like bought Obey and Diamond and Odd Future and all that stuff. So I don't know. It's really cool to have a brand. That's another one for me that was like kind of crazy, just to have like, yeah, I don't know, just be able to have a brand and a store that like I really liked growing up.
Yeah, well, how did that, could you talk on how the Zoomies collaboration came about? Like, I'm guessing they came to you.
Yeah, so basically my label at the time was asking for merch. And I always had this like really weird, it's funny because I'm like wearing my merch right now, but I had this like really weird thing about merch. I was like, I think merch is like really corny. Like putting your face and your name on a shirt is like so corny. I don't want to do that. And I like really pushed back. So I went to my agency and I was like, I really want a brand. Like I really want to make clothes for a brand that it's like, if you support me, like that can be my merch. Even though it doesn't say my name or anything, that can be like my merch. And the people that like me, you can wear that. And it's also cool because like, if you don't know who I am and you don't care about my music or like whatever, you can also wear the brand and it has no correlation to me. Like it doesn't need to be me at all. So I went to them and then like shortly after, I think like Zoomies, they were like, oh, do you want to do it with Zoomies? And I was like, yeah, like what? And Zoomies was just down. Like they wanted to help. They wanted, so yeah, they just like wanted to work. And so I work with their design team. Like everything, the whole brand is like within Zoomies. Like I work with their design team, obviously like their production team, all of them. I go to all the events that they do. Like I literally just got back from Seattle doing the events they do. But I love Zoomies. Like they're genuinely such a cool brand. And I think it's like really interesting because you never know working with like big brands, like a big store like that, like Zoomies, you never know how it's going to be working with someone like that, but they're genuinely like the coolest, easiest going, amazing people to work with. It's been like such a dream. So shout out Zoomies.
Yeah. Do you still feel really excited when you get time to kind of draw new designs and just have ideas come out?
Yeah. So we do calls like every like month or something. We do calls very often. And, cause we always have new stuff coming out. We do collections like every season. So we're constantly like working and coming up with new stuff and putting together mood boards and stuff. And, it's exciting. It's always really exciting to get back like the colorways that are the most popular that season and like the new stuff we're able to do and new, shirts or sweaters or vests or like whatever the new stuff that we're able to make. We're always like making new stuff, so it's really cool.
Nice. Is there anything in the winter collection that you can tell us about that that'll be an exclusive?
Just cool stuff. I don't know. It's just,
cool stuff.
Just cool stuff. We are making something new this time. Like we have something that we haven't made before, some type of jacket, which I'm really excited about.
Nice.
There you go. That's what I wanted.
But that is something I have noticed recently, is that more bands are really making like aesthetic and fashion sense a more of a priority. I mean, when I was getting into bands, you know, everyone was just wearing black t-shirts, black jeans, you know, Vans, Converse. It was just kind of really basic. Oh, you're definitely emo. You're definitely goth. So that must be cool for you to see how much that's evolving. I'm sure you take notice of what other people are doing and have your favorites and things you don't agree with.
Oh, definitely. I think like, it's just interesting because social media is so big now. Fashion is so big now and people just really care about what they're wearing. I think it does matter. Like, obviously you don't have to wear, you can do whatever you want, but I think for me, like aesthetic is such a big thing. Like I'm always trying to make sure I stay, like it's just who I am, but also like there is like an aesthetic to me and like my brand. And I don't know. I like people that have aesthetics. Like I love, like I follow cool people that just like wear cool shit. So I don't know. I think like it's really cool to see fashion be such like a big priority now. Yeah, it's funny because I remember that, like when everyone was just wearing like black skinny jeans. And
hello. Yep, that was me.
I wanted to wear too. Like when I was in like middle school, I was just like black skinny jeans. I love like skinny jeans. Also like the colorful skinny jeans from Justice. I used to wear those in elementary school too.
Nice.
The time too.
Well, we're not to put you on the spot, but do you have any fashion tips or fashion don'ts for me and Sean?
Don't do me. No, don't do me. I don't want to be picked on. Do Morgan. Look at Morgan.
Or just people in the, or just the scene in general. I mean, what's some of your favorite things in alternative fashion? What's some of your things you don't really like in alternative fashion?
Good game, miss.
I think for me, it's just wear whatever you want. I think just wear whatever you want. Like, it's cool to mix up colors and to, for me, when I was younger, I was so scared to wear whatever I wanted because I was so scared to get picked on. And I just like didn't want to look different than anyone else. So I think just like wear whatever you want. You can follow trends. I think there's such this like weird thing right now where it's like don't follow trends, like blah, 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 like have your own sense of style. But it's like, do whatever you want. If you want to follow a trend, if you like a trend that's going on right now, follow the trend. If you want to wear something weird that you found at a thrift store, like wear it. My favorite thing, I really like platforms. I hate flat shoes. Just on me personally, like I love platforms. Like anything with a little platform, like I will buy. I love platforms. I also love fuzzy things. And I think right now, like every brand is doing fuzzy stuff right now, which is like, oh, I'm just obsessed with it. I love it so much. So I'm like really into fuzzy stuff right now, like fuzzy shoes, fuzzy jackets, fuzzy pants, like fuzzy hats, everything fuzzy. I love. And I don't know, I just like literally only wear black. So for me, it's like anything that comes in black, I'm like, I love it.
Yeah, sounds good. Well, I wanted to talk as well about your experience on Downfall High. Obviously, you made your acting debut there with that film for Machine Gun Kelly's album, and that really blew up as this home thing on YouTube and everything. What was that like for you? I'm sure it kind of was a weird experience in many ways, and working so close with Machine Gun Kelly and Modson, who was one of the directors. Can you just tell us a little bit about all that?
It was fun. It was like literally I got asked to do it maybe like the day before, like 2 days before.
What? And, oh, wow.
Yeah, I didn't have like a script or anything. Like they were just like, no, come. And I was like, all right, cool. Like, what do I wear? And they were like, bring something out. It's like this and this. So I was like, okay. So the first day of filming was like a whole ass day. Like I think I was there for like 12 hours or something. And it was so fun. Like, it was so much fun. We were just, cause like, those are like my friends, and like Sick Brain is in it too. And she's like my best friend. So we were just literally hanging out all day. I got to act with, Sydney Sweeney, which was really crazy. I don't know. It was just really fun. And then the second day we were like at a roller rink, and it was just fun. Like, I don't know. It was just like a really good time. I don't know if every acting gig is like that, but it was just a lot of fun. And yeah, like I said, I didn't have a script or anything. So when it was time to film, they would be like, just say this. And I was like, oh, okay. Which was like really weird and interesting because like, obviously I have no acting. Like I don't act. Like I just was in it because they asked me to be. Like I would love to act, but I don't act. So it was just cool. It was just fun.
Would you do more?
I would, definitely. I take acting classes, so hopefully I'm better now. But yeah, I would definitely. I love acting. Like, I love the idea of acting, so hopefully I can get into that one day.
Fingers crossed, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy to hear that that was all, like, such last minute and chaotic as well.
Yeah, I was like, what do I say? They were like, just say this. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, fantastic. Well, Maggie, as we start to wind down a little bit on the conversation here, I wanted to get into a few other things. And obviously at the start, found a weird fact about you, but I read also you played once in Malaysia in 2019, and there was a bit of an incident where you had to get escorted off the stage and in custody for a little bit because you didn't have like the right pass and stuff to visit the country. What was that?
So to this day, I don't really know exactly what it was. Apparently, it was issues with the promoter getting the visa, but honestly, I'm not sure. I was just happy to get out of there. Didn't ask me literally asked too many questions. I was just like happy to be out and happy to be on a plane home. So I don't really know. But yeah, I was in, I got arrested and I got put into a cell for, I was in the cell for like 24 hours.
Oh, wow.
And then we were on like house arrest for in the hotel for 5 days after that.
That's crazy. Did you get to perform? Like, at what point did they pull you? Was it like coming into the country? Were you in the country? Like,
no, I was on stage. It was like four songs in, maybe three songs in.
What? And they didn't even let you finish. They just came on and went, oh.
Yeah, no, I was told to get off the stage. Yeah.
That's insane. I saw The Used once in Tampa and they were on stage. It was like a radio festival, Tampa 97X. And The Used were on stage. And I think Burt McCracken had a warrant out for his arrest. So the stage was literally surrounded by police, right? The side in front, so he couldn't like jump down the front and get in the crowd. But they waited. They at least waited until he finished the set. And they were like, come on in, Robert. Oh, yeah, come with us. But yeah, that's insane.
No. Yeah, it was mid-show.
Oh, yeah, like,
yeah. As much as wild experiences goes, I obviously at the time that's really scary. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of confusion around it. But that must just be such a, you know, there's not many people who have these kind of stories. You don't really hear about this. I'm sure it was just kind of like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, I was just confused. I just had no idea what was going on. Because obviously, like, as the artist, it's just my job. Like, I go there. I love doing it. Yeah. It's not just a job. But it's my job. Like, I'm going there expecting, you know, I'm not, as the artist, I don't obviously sort out, like, the visas and make sure, like, everything's right. I have, like, a team. And, like, they, whoever, like, hired me for it, like, has a team. So, I was just really confused. I just didn't know what was going on. And it was just really a scary situation just being in another country. Especially where not everyone was speaking English. So there was a language barrier that I just like, I couldn't understand what was going on.
Yeah. Yeah. I just remember the time that I got my old band got, pulled over by the Greek police. And then we got taken to a police station. They kept us for like 6 or 7 hours, demanded money off us. And yeah, they kept speaking Greek all the time and they had guns. And we were like, I don't know what's going to go on here. This is fucking nuts. Like,
yeah, the language barrier is scary because you just
terrifying.
You just don't know what they're saying. Like, it's all, you just don't know what's going on.
Yeah, bonkers. Yeah. But wow. Yeah, I'm glad you got out of that and everything is fine. Yeah. And here we are today celebrating that. So yeah, fuck you, Malaysian authorities. Yes.
No, and fingers crossed you don't have any more problems with stuff like that. But during this conversation, we've talked a lot about just kind of big moments that's happened for you already in your career. And the reaction for this album and everything at the moment, I'm sure it's a lot to process. It's happening day by day. You're so busy kind of taking everything in. But just seeing kind of your name and posted on massive billboards in like the streets of LA and selling out these shows now and going to be coming over to the UK in 2023, I'm sure it's just kind of so much for you to take in. Is there anything you're doing day to day to kind of just make sure that you do get to absorb all of this?
Not really. I think for me, I honestly don't really have a hard time with schedules. Like, I really just will be like, oh, okay, we have that going on. And then like a week before, like a couple days before, I'll like check my calendar and be like, oh, that's in like 3 days. Oh, that's in like 4 days. I should pack for that. So I don't know. I don't really, like, for me, I just like to live day by day. I don't really stress myself out with stuff like that too much. I don't know. I the days I have off, like, I just chill, just take time for myself. So I don't know. I like being busy. I like doing stuff. So that's like fun for me.
Nice. Do you have like a tour photographer and stuff then? Are you documenting these moments and the journey?
I have had a tour photographer before. Like, on my last tour, I just had like people in each city come out. I knew a lot of people in different cities, so we did that. If I go on my own tour, yeah, I'll probably get someone to like.
That's one of the things I regret most is when my band was doing well. I was just like, oh, this is gonna last forever. Like, there's no fucking way that I'm never coming back to Australia. And then the last time I was there was like the last time I was in, you know, might be the last time I was ever in Australia. But yeah. I wish I'd taken more photos and stuff. And because, yeah, I remember like, I'm not doing touristy stuff. I'm going to be here loads of times. And then I'm like, oh, I should have maybe have taken one photo outside the Sydney Opera House. So, yeah. Yeah, that's my advice. That's my advice when you're doing these shows. Yeah, get a photographer just so you know and you can see the journey and you can look back at it when you're older and be like, this was fucking insane.
For sure.
Because it's going to go, yeah, it's going to go absolutely fucking stratospheric for you, I think. I think you're going to be fucking absolutely huge. And yeah, I can't wait to see the reaction over you. And you're doing Slam Dunk in 2023. In the UK, that's a fucking massive deal over here. That's a great festival with an unbelievable lineup every year. And yeah, I can't wait. I think it's going to be...
I'm really excited for that one.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the one in the UK where you're like, oh, okay, yeah. This is it then. Here we go. I could be. I'm going to be the queen of the UK. We need a queen. We are going at the moment.
All right.
Yeah, all right, I'll do it. I'll be the queen. I'll take it.
Yeah.
But nice. Yeah, but, cool.
But how excited are you for Slam Dunk? I'm sure you've heard a lot about it.
I'm really excited. Like when the lineup got announced, I was getting a lot of mentions and comments. So I'm really excited. It seems like people are excited to see me too, which is always a good thing. So
yeah, nice. Well, fantastic. Well, Maggie, thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us. It's been great getting to know you and explore your journey and career so far. Before we let you go, if there's anything else you kind of want to mention that the people know about, plug, whatever, please go ahead.
I think just listen to my new album, Sucker Punch. It's everywhere, out everywhere. And yeah, I think that's it. Just nice. Listen to that.
Right. Yes. And you can check out merch and you can check out album packages at maggielindemann.com. And everything's there as well. So yeah, nice. Well, thank you very, very much for this. Hopefully we get to do one in the flesh at Slam Dunk because we'll be there as well, I think. So
yeah, for sure.
So yeah, thank you very, very, very much for this. Congratulations on all your success so far and congratulations on becoming the queen of the UK when you do.
Thanks. All right, thanks, guys.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Woohoo!
Woo!
Yes! Thank you very much to Maggie Lindemann for that lovely, lovely chat. I'm pretty sure she didn't have a clue what was going to happen when we started. And she looked a little bit frightened, but she got into it and we had a really, really good time with that. And I hope we get to do another one, possibly in the flesh at some point, but I don't mind doing it over the internet again. So yes, thank you very much to Maggie and her people for sorting this out. We had a great time and good luck with everything in the future. I'm sure you're going to be even bigger than you are now, which is fucking huge already.
But yeah, it's nice getting to know new artists in the scene, and especially ones that are thriving and setting trends and just kind of taken over the world. She's got over 6 million followers on Instagram, which is insane.
I cannot wait. I bet you £200 she definitely doesn't post us on her Instagram wall or even in her story. Please do that. Maggie, if you listen to this, please listen to me now, right? Maggie, if you share this, right, that would literally make our lives. You've got 6 million followers, right? If 1% of them listen to it, right? I can't work out if that's 600 people or 60 people. It doesn't matter. Look, it will help us. Please, Maggie, listen, you've got this fucking platform, right? Please help us. I need help, we need help. But if you fancy helping Sapnin Podcast, check out patreon.com/Sapnin. Or give us a follow on Twitter, Instagram, and sometimes TikTok at Sapnin Pod. That's at SAPPENIMPOD. But serious now, Mag, give us a follow on Instagram. Give us a fucking share, please. We need it.
It really helps and put us in your Instagram stories and just share us with people and everything like that. But Maggie Lindemann's debut album, Sucker Punch, is available now. There's a lot of different sounding songs on it. If you're a big fan of goth, if you're a big fan of pop punk, original emo music, there's definitely tracks on there for you. And she will be coming to the UK in 2023 to perform at Slam Dunk Festival next summer. So go and check out the lineup, loads of exciting bands playing next year. And speaking of our Patreon page, Sean, you mentioned it in the intro. This week, we're going to be doing a giant Zoom party celebration with our wonderful Patreon community. So if you fancy jumping on a call with me, Sean, and loads of your new best friends, head over to patreon.com/Sapnin. There's loads of extra bonuses on there, from behind the scenes podcasts to photos, videos, just little things we do on the daily, and you get a good laugh out of it.
But right now, we have to thank the elite members of our Patreon who have signed up for the tier that gets your name read out on the podcast. Oh, do you know what? Thanks everyone who's ever signed up for our Patreon, even if you lasted a month or a week or whatever. It means the absolute world to us that you supported us in any way. So thank you very much. We really, 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 really... I know we fucking mention it every week. I know it's boring as fuck for you, but it genuinely, it means the fucking world to us and makes this fucking possible. So thank you very much. Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liwaway, Paul Hirschfield, Tony, still top of the league, Michael. I'm guessing that's one of them soccer references, is it? Dilly Snuggle Puddle offers open because Bill's dough. I still think that she's offering sex for money. And I don't know if we're allowed to advertise that, but I just have. Thank you very much. Kelly Ewing, Natasha Morris, Mitch Perry, Nathan Croshaw, Emma Barber, Sammy G, Kat Besson, Dana Lasnova, Scott Jones, Jenny Robinson, Murray Grimwood, Amy Dawson, Amy Louise, Stuart McNaught, Stephen Aston, M. Evans Roberts, Caroline Robinson, Kate Paddock, Louis Cook, Martina McManus, Carl Pendlebury, Danny Eden, James McNaught, Craig officially announcing Mini Me do April next year, Aris.
Hooray!
He's left it in, and now he's got a sprog on the way. Well, I'm Craig Boy. Well, I'm Boy. Kelly Cannon, Jenny Munster, Emily Perry, John and Emma, Jason Aredia, Gary White, Kalila Keane, Adam King of the Goss Parcler, whose band I am playing with October the 30th in Le Pub in Newport. It's a free show. Free. That means it costs fuck all. So just get to Newport, isn't it? On the 31st as well, my band's also playing Manchester at the Bread Shed for Deadbolt. I should have mentioned that earlier, but I forgot. Thank you very much, Ollie. Tom is only coming back so he can be on Sapnin Podcast, Amesbury. Ollie, I do fucking hope so, because do you know what I want to talk to him about? Just UFOs. I couldn't give a shit about blinking him back together, because I want to know what's going on with the aliens. Because if he's not fucking looking at the aliens, who is? Is fucking...
Oh, Pete Wentz,
is Pete Wentz having a break and he's taking over from Tom and he's just looking up. He's just looking up all the time going, Tom, Tom, I think I've seen another one. And he goes, that's a Starlink. You stupid fucking Fallout Boy. And like, oh, come on, man. Josh, my missus just couldn't accept my obsession with horoscopes. In the end, it tore us apart. Crisp. That's good. That's one of his better ones, I think. But it's also off. You can't fucking groan at any. You had a little groan come out of you, Ed. You didn't groan, you cheeky fucker.
Only little one.
Thank you very much, Alice Wood, Kat Robinson, Reese Boring, Kate Stevenson, Connor Lewins, and Kyle making t-shirts, making songs, and fighting around the world, David Smith. Kyle, don't go fighting around the world, fella, because it probably won't end well. Also, don't fight me for saying that.
Thank you, everyone in our Patreon community. We love you very, very much. Honestly, it makes this podcast happen each and every week. Thank you to anyone who got this far. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you for Maggie for coming on and Steph for sorting this out. And we'll be back next week and every Friday with a very special guest. And episode 205 is the closest to Halloween. So we expect something remotely spooky, maybe.
I hope so. As long as you go, ooh, at the beginning, I think we're
all right. Yeah, saw it.
Yeah. As long as we pronounce spooky, spoopy, I think the kids of today will love this podcast. So yeah, spoopy season. It's spoopy season, they say it now. They're spelling things even more wrong. Anyway, I better go before I start attacking the youth of the nation. We are youth of the nation. I don't know why I did that. I gotta go. Thank you very much, everybody listening to this. I'm sorry about this.
It's
fucking Sapnin Podcast on Twitter, at Mitch Richards on Twitter and Instagram, at Sean Smith Sucks on Twitter, at Fake Sean Smith on Instagram. That's fucking it.
Sapnin.
I nearly forgot how we ended the show then. 204 of these we've done.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.